It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Special guest today, Tommy Grisafi with Ag Bull Media. First off, Rich Nelson, Allendale on soybeans.
This market is already trading, even with today's price. It is already trading a price now implying higher yields still in front of us beyond this report. So I can't discount that argument too much. And on top of what he mentioned about our recent rains, which have been positive for most areas in the Midwest, on top of that story, we also have our discussion here for soybeans of maybe some question about exports. USDA offset some of this production increase today with an increase for exports. Problem was, we were not even meeting their prior July estimate there. So certainly for soybeans, you can argue this is definitely a tough story for us from both a yield issue as well as new crop export sales.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Tommy Grisafi. Tommy is owner of Ag Bull Media. Tommy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me. Great day to be talking agriculture, right?
Absolutely. Hey, before we start, we're going to talk markets in just a moment. But before we do, for anybody who doesn't know Tommy, what is your pathway to where you are today? Did you grow up in ag?
No, actually, oddly enough, I grew up outside of agriculture, but I went to the Board of Trade on a high school field trip when I was 17. And I just found the markets fascinating. And then I got really involved. And since then, I love trading corn. I traded a lot of financial products too, but I've always gravitated back to corn, and I love to go visit farmers and, you know, migrated from a full-time trader to a part-time trader and a broker. And just, then, you know, that's how I got involved. I love agriculture, and I love the people, as you know, they're the best people in the whole world. And from that, during COVID, we did a little media, and I started doing a lot more media during COVID. And then I formed a media company, and that's how I bump into you in our paths cross here a few months ago.
Well, great story there. You know, times change, and you mentioned how things changed during COVID. But I think one of the things we continue to forget is that there was a time that markets weren't all electronic. Do you miss those days?
No, because this is so selfish, you're going to think I'm a stinker. But the ability to make money is so much greater electronically, because when you were a pit trader, you can only be in one pit trading one month at a time. And electronically, you can buy a supercomputer and a bunch of screens, and I could be trading in London, I could be trading Asian markets, Europe markets, American markets, East Coast, West Coast. The electronic markets don't discriminate. And if you were ever in a pit and you were, a 4'9" woman, that's a bad place to be in a pit. But on a screen, you can be as tall as you want to be standing on your wallet, right? And, it just doesn't discriminate. I love that about it. It's harder, but, if you're good at it, it can become, you can have a lot of advantages. So it also, Tony, great question, two-part question or two-part answer. It also levels the playing field. So a guy like me can live in Valparaiso, Indiana, work from home and trade and then do media. I can come spend a few days in Nashville and trade and do media. I mean, it's really, you used to have to live by Chicago. And now a lot of the people I know who are great traders have moved to Florida for tax benefits or the state of Tennessee. And the ability to move and go live where you want, do what you want. COVID really had a lot of people moving from state to state. Texas was a huge, they benefited tremendously from people leaving California and wanting to operate their businesses out of Texas. So a lot of changes came with COVID. Some, for some people, they were positive, some negative. But for me, as far as my business and media, a guy like me wouldn't normally be involved in media, but the fact I can call B&H Photo in New York and order some of the best equipment in the world and take a lesson on how to use it, all of a sudden, boom, I don't own a tower, but I got a podcast or something else where I'm talking markets live like the interviews I do with you. I'm live from my my home office, so it's really fun.
So let's talk about some things that really haven't changed over time. At the end of the day, growing corn, growing soybeans, cotton, wheat, cattle. At the end of the day, it's still the same thing. You have to plant it. You have to take care of it. You have to doctor it, make sure it's well taken care of to get to the point where we can sell it. And that's why I guess we really have markets. Good chance for us to dive a little deeper into the markets. And corn has really, I mean, we fell below that $4 range in corn on the heels of a WASDE report from USDA. And the old crop sales numbers on Thursday were kind of disappointing, but looking at new crop and seeing 800,000 top end of the trade expectations, does that give us a maybe not something to really smile about, but maybe not frown about?
It's lower prices bring in demand for sure, and they should, right? Think about what you're saying. The American farmer, our friends, our clients, our listeners, grew something and are selling it to the market for less than what it would cost you and I to do it or the world. And that lower prices bring demand. The trick about higher prices is that when we're higher, we run up and you say, oh, we're higher prices because we don't have as much. But the longer we stay at higher prices, the more it curtails demand. And so it's a two-edged sword. You get the higher prices because we don't have as much of the stuff. But then the longer we stay up there, people say, I can't afford $7 corn. And so then the prices collapse. We're definitely in that prices collapsing. And we're going to need a problem weather-wise somewhere in the world to get this market going. Or we're going to need to get the price so doggone low that demand, you know, you and I talk again in a few months, you're like, wow, we're selling corn like crazy. But it may be 375 corn. And that's the catch right there.
Okay. I think you hit on some really good things there. The cost of doing business today is, for farmers, is just greater than it's ever been. Doesn't matter what you're raising at this point. Can you find a way to use the markets even when prices are low to help you cash flow and make it through a difficult year?
Great question. Yeah, absolutely. There's things you can do, but we can't. You got to identify from what point you're starting the problem. Someone who had been using the markets last year, 6 months ago, might have used the markets and had some great forward sales and prices. If you've never used the markets and you say, oh my God, I just came off the lake and I got to get my head out of the sand, we have a problem here, and you call a markets guy, that's not really going to, you can only start from that day on. There's also things you can do in markets, buying premium, selling premium in the options. And unfortunately, Tony, when times get tough, people try to get too creative. And if they get too creative, they can get in trouble. So it's where, like, hey, I have a small problem, and then you turn the small problem into a bigger problem. So there are times in agriculture we have tremendous profits, and there's times when we come into a cycle where we're going to have losses. And we're in one of those loss cycles. What we're trying to do is minimize those losses. And the best way to minimize a loss is to identify your risk. And so even though, as you had quoted all day on various channels and networks, that the price is low with these beneficial rains that just came in, we can produce more bushels and even go to a lower price. So we have to be careful identifying, hey, things are bad. They can't get much worse. They can get a lot worse in price because we have so much quantity. So what we do as risk managers is identify how many bushels do you have and at what point do you want the bleeding to stop? And the way you make that stop, the answer to that solution is sell grain, and then we like to own options at the exchange. So where you own that upside, you buy that insurance on the upside, because the very thing stopping you from selling that grain because you're afraid. If I sell grain, I know it's going to go up. Well, no problem. Sell grain, cash flow, pay back the operating, stop the interest costs. Boom, buy it back on the board, as people like to say. Some people do futures. You didn't, in the case if you buy futures, no, you only transferred the risk. You didn't mitigate the risk. You just transferred it from a physical bushel to a paper bushel. When you buy the option, you know what you paid for that insurance policy, and you can't lose anything more than that.
Some really good points. As we wrap up here, tell us about Ag Bull Media. What is it, and what are you doing?
Well, we've been a little slow on the broadcasting because we've been doing so much live streaming. Personally, on my day job at Advanced Trading, we've been live streaming every day at 9 o'clock on the Advanced Trading YouTube channel. Ag Bull Media is the company in the base that learned how to do that, and then I took some of that talent and showed my coworkers. But Ag Bull Media is going to go back to producing several video podcasts per month at Joe Rogan style, a couple people at a table, multiple cameras, and I really like video podcasting. What I like even more than that, though, is live streaming, because, as you know, when you're live, you don't need to go back and edit. You can't undo anything, and it brings a different you have to bring your A game out when you're live. You know, I spent a little time sitting with you on TV, and you think, oh, well, if I mess up, we'll redo it. There's no redoing it. Whereas when you record a video podcast or an audio podcast, if you have a hiccup or someone swears or something, you can always just edit it out. And I like doing live better. But we're going to go back to video podcasting and putting out a few great segments a month, going long form, you know, turn on the mics, turn on the camera, and there's no stopping how far we can go in just creating content.
And if somebody wants to find Ag Bull Media, wants to find out more about what Tommy Grisafi's doing, can we find you on the World Wide Web?
Oh, yeah. We're just revamping our website, so I won't give you that. But if you just Google Ag Bull Media, you will find any one of my social medias. You can go to X, Instagram, Facebook. Heck, you can even go to the crazy world of TikTok and find Ag Bull Media. But if you Google Ag Bull Media, I promise you'll find Tommy Grisafi.
There you go. Ag Bull Media. Tommy Grisafi is owner of Ag Bull Media and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
Attention, High Plains landowners. The Sandhill Area Research Association is looking for 50 ply lakes in need of restoration. This project brings free resources to you and includes a per-acre incentive. Playas matter today for our ecosystem and for tomorrow's water supply. To learn more, visit playasworkfortexans.com. Together, we can leave a legacy of water for future generations.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Tommy Grisafi with Ag Bull Media. In this heat, you're concerned about both the health of your animals and their performance. Strobel Super Shades can reduce the dangerous ground temperatures 30 degrees or more. Strobel Super Shades, the best built cattle shades in the industry, available in 40 by 40 with 1600 square feet of shade or 20 by 20, proven to protect your cattle and increase your gains. Go to StrobelShades.com for more. StrobelShades.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with Tommy Grisafi and Ag Bull Media online, agbull.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Attention, High Plains landowners. The Sandhill Area Research Association is looking for 50 playa lakes in need of restoration. This project brings free resources to you and includes a per-acre incentive. Playas matter today for our ecosystem and for tomorrow's water supply. To learn more, visit playasworkfortexans.com. Together, we can leave a legacy of water for future generations.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Our nation's cotton production for this marketing year is forecasted to be 3 million bales more than the previous season. Yet, month-over-month adjustments down were noted in USDA's domestic balance sheet. World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jekinowski explains why.
1.9 million bale reduction in production. We also reduced our export forecast for new crop cotton by 1 million bales. Currently, we have it at 12 million bales. The combination of the lower production and lower exports results in ending stocks this month tightening up by about 800,000 bales.
Also lowered the season-ending average price estimate by 2 cents, with the price now at 66 cents per pound.
Given the relatively abundant U.S. and global supplies and ongoing concerns about global demand, prices have been trending lower for some time. Futures markets have been declining.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.